The next day, both newspapers published stories about the threatening scrawl, accompanied by photographs of Gardín standing next to the window. "Someone is not happy about my petition to the public prosecutor," Gardín told La Nueva, "but I intend to get to the bottom of this." He had filed a petition with the police asking for increased nighttime patrols around his wife's shop. Still, neither paper revealed Bernandi's identity. That happened 3 weeks later, at the end of July, when Nicola Bernandi stepped forward publicly and identified himself as Stephanie's heir. Through his lawyer, Cristina Belloni, he said he intended to safeguard Mario Stephanie's legacy by donating all of his manuscripts, books, correspondence, and paintings to the Querini Stampalia Foundation. He had hired specialists to catalog everything in Stephanie's house by the end of summer. Belloni insisted that there was no mystery behind the will. Her client found out that he was the heir only after Stephanie's death, when he was summoned by the police. Albert Gardín was not satisfied. 3 days later, he held a news conference in the lobby of the Sofitel Hotel and introduced sensational new charges. "The last relationship of Mario Stephanie," he said, "turned into a dangerous, erotic game that got out of control and cost him his life. I would describe his death as a Pasoliniana," he went on, referring to the brutal murder in 1975 of the film director Pier Paolo Pasolini, for which a hustler was convicted. "Mario paid for sex with the boys he wrote about in his erotic poems. The police should investigate Mario's bank account because there was movement in it right before his death, and when he died, the account was empty." A reporter pointed out to Gardín, "Many people think you have a personal motive for calling attention to this case, even though it seems to be resolved." "It is absolutely not resolved," Gardín replied. "Only the lawyer for the heir thinks it is." The next morning, a second warning appeared on Gardín's shop window. This one, like the first, was written with a blue felt-tip marker. "Haven't you read the newspapers? There's no mystery about Stephanie's will. If you keep talking, there will be trouble for you." Gardín filed another complaint against persons unknown, once again asking the police for nighttime surveillance. I stopped in again at his shop to look at the writing on his window. Gardín and his wife were both inside. He came out into the calle. "My wife is terrified," he said under his breath. "She wants me to abandon my campaign." But he did not. Instead, he organized a posthumous 63rd birthday party for Stephanie the following Sunday in Campo San Giacomo dell'Orio. He sent out invitations entitled "Poets Never Die," addressed to "My Friends," and signed "Mario." The Gazzettino said that the invitation was in dubious taste. "It is right to remember the poet," the paper declared. "Right that his friends, the real ones, gather, but let us not exploit his death. Leave Mario in peace, as he wanted." The party took place outdoors in the campo and was attended by about 40 people. It began as a tasteful homage to Stephanie's poetry, but quickly turned into a platform for denunciations of the police and speculation about what had really happened. Stephanie's longtime friend, the journalist Maria Irma Mariotti, proposed the most extreme scenario, in line with Gardín's. "In my opinion, Mario was murdered," she said in a raspy smoker's voice. "I won't exclude the possibility that he was the victim of an erotic game, one that involved asphyxiation with a bag over his head or a rope around his neck, followed by a staged hanging."